The second thing is, we're going to have to learn how to forsake some things. We're going to have to learn how to forsake some things that are dear to us, that are really close to us. We're going to have to learn these things, or we'll lose out on the treasures in heaven. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 29, same verse, let's start reading at verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Well, this is what the Lord said they'll get. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging 12 tribes of Israel. And every one of you that has forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit it in everlasting life. You know, if we're going to have treasures in heaven, we're going to have to learn to forsake some things. Now, when I first looked at those scriptures, when I first seen those scriptures about 2 years ago, that happened to be the hardest teaching that I probably ever heard. To forsake your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, maybe your job, maybe that person you think is real dear to you, to forsake them for the Lord. Now, we could misinterpret this, and it's probably been done. You know, you all of a sudden you just leave your job, or you just leave your wife. You know, you're married, you just leave it. Well, it's not talking about that. But you know, God needs to have a place in our lives.
Amen.
And that place needs to be number one. And if something is interrupting that, you need to forsake it. It needs to be out of your life.
Amen.
If something is interrupting you being number one, God being number one in your life, you need to forsake it. And we need to learn this. If we're going to have treasures in heaven where moth doesn't eat up or rust doesn't corrupt or where thieves don't come in and break, we're going to have to learn to forsake some things. Now, of course, we don't have to forsake anything. And we can have our treasures here on earth and the moth can eat them up and the rust can corrupt them and thieves can come in and steal them and you can be satisfied. And then one day, as a Christian, you'll stand before the living God. And you know something? It's just his mercy that you won't be naked. At least you'll have a robe of righteousness on. And I thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
But we need to learn to forsake some things as Christians. Now I know that this is a sort of hard teaching, not because it's coming from me, but because it's the Word of God, to forsake some things. And if we're going to be the soldiers and Christians that the Lord wants us to be, we're going to have to learn these things.
Amen.
And God wants us to. He wants us to be victorious. He wants us to walk in joy.
Amen.
You know why we don't have joy so much of the time? Because our heart is in the wrong place.
Right.
And our heart is not where God's heart is. And so we seem to get a little bit down in the dumps. And you know, I've walked through that door many a times and I've come in it that way. My heart wasn't in the right place. My heart wasn't on God that morning. My heart wasn't on the Lord Jesus Christ. My heart wasn't on souls, being saved. Man, I probably would have did better not coming to church. But I'm glad you came because you need to be here. The Word of God is good for you. It can comfort you. You know, I thank the Lord for that. It can cut you and then it can help your wounds. Well, the third thing I like to look at, and we're getting a little bit harder here now, by suffering persecution and reproach for Christ, we can have treasures in heaven. Now, I know that's tough, and you know that's tough, and you wish we didn't have to go through that. But you know something? Our Lord went through that, and he did it for us. And if you want to have treasures in heaven that you can give back to the Lord of glory, you're going to have to suffer. Look at Matthew chapter 5. And we'll look at verse 11 and 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you.
Hey,
boy, we thought it was a little bit different. He said, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you. Blessed are you. And shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Blessed are you. This is what the Lord is saying to us. When all these things come upon us, you know, reproach, slander, ridicule, persecution. The Lord says, blessed are you.
Amen.
For my name's sake.
Amen.
He said, rejoice, rejoice, and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Some great rewards in heaven. Some great men of God in heaven. You know, they have great treasures in heaven. Those men were persecuted. Some of them sawed in two. Some of them ripped apart. Some of them spit on. Some of them just thrown into prison. All sorts of things happen to these men. But not like in our day, all they do is just talk about us. You know, they just tell us that we're a little crazy. No one ever, I think, got shot. I haven't heard anybody, you know, just get blown away when he mentions Jesus' name, you know, or they take him and strap him up to a rack and just stretch him apart. Has anybody heard of any of that lately? But they just tell us, you know, oh, you're just sort of a fanatic. Why don't you go somewhere else with that about Jesus?
Well, that's all they say to us, and it seems like it's just tearing us apart, you know?
And we're ready to die or something. But we ought to be happy people about that.
Amen.
Because in heaven, we have a reward. And a lot of people here may be thinking, well, I'm getting ready to go to the mission field. And boy, I want to be an evangelist preacher for God. I want to do this and I want to do that. You better get ready for some suffering. Because that's what's going to happen when you go out for Jesus. You're going to suffer. Because the world hates Jesus.
That's right.
And you know, the world's going to hate you. Because you're not of this world. If you're a Christian, you're not of this world.
Amen.
You know, you're just around here. Okay? You're not from here. You're just around here for a short while. And one day, praise God, we'll be gone.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord for that. I know that's what you're waiting for. I know you're ready to go just like I am, you know. It's kind of tough down here, doesn't it? But didn't he say he'd be with us?
Amen.
Didn't he say he had all power?
Amen.
In heaven, on earth too.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We're going to have to learn to suffer for Jesus if we want treasures in heaven. Now you notice I'm saying we're going to have to learn these things. There's nobody in here that is instantaneously that now they're a great sufferer for the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to learn these things. Why don't you turn to the book of Acts, and we'll look at a man by the name of Paul the Apostle. Acts chapter 9. And notice what Jesus said about him. We'll start reading at verse 10. And before this, Paul the Apostle was Saul of Tarsus, and he was a persecutor of Christians. He was a persecutor of the Christians. He had them killed and everything, and he was getting ready to go to give some kind of authority to have more of them killed. And God stopped him on the Damascus Road. Changed his life around. Put him on a new road.
Amen.
On the Jesus Road.
Amen.
Took him off the Damascus Road, put him on the Jesus Road.
Amen.
Look what it says in verse 10 through 16. It says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And that's what the Lord said about Paul. He said he was going to show him that he was going to have to suffer great things for his name's sake. And you know what Paul did? He took the challenge. He stood in the gap for the Lord. And you know, it's a challenge put before us as Christians every day. It's a challenge put before us. Are we going to stand for the Lord? Are we going to stand for the one who bought us with his precious
Amen.
Blood? Every day there's going to be a challenge before you. It seems like every morning that I wake up, I hear a knock on my door. It's not the Lord because he's already in it. But it seems like the devil, right? Just when I get ready to wake up, he comes. He's there, boy, and he's ready to meet me. He's ready to discourage me, get me down. And he doesn't want to see me praise the Lord, live for the Lord that day.
Right.
He just wants to stop me right in the morning. You know, right when I get up and ready to go out. And he wants to do that. And you know what I'm talking about. Because he does the same thing to you. But it seems like every day. But you know what? We need to take a stand every day for the Lord.
Amen.
We need to realize that there's a challenge before us every day. But the Lord is with us to go through this battle. And we need to learn these things. We need to learn how to suffer for Jesus. If we're going to have treasures in heaven, we're going to have to learn how to suffer for Jesus. The fourth thing is we're going to have to learn how to be soul winners for the Lord. Winning souls for Jesus. If we're going to have treasures in heaven, we're going to have to go out and sow the seed. You know? Sow the word of God. Amen. That's how you guys say, right?
Amen.
Somebody sow some gospel seeds out there.
Amen.
I mean, if we don't sow the seed, and the world is dependent on us, this is going to be the church of Jesus Christ right here. And nobody else is going to get saved. But you know, sometimes I'm glad, and I know you are too, that the world's not just dependent on us. Because we would be just as small. And we're failures most of the time. But we're going to have to learn how to be soul winners for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now I said learn. Now you say, I'm not a soul winner. Well, I said learn. We're going to have to learn how to be soul winners for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the greatest teacher is he himself.
Amen.
Look in John chapter 4 and start reading at verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestow no labor. Other men labor, and ye are entered into their labor. You know, if we're going to have treasures in heaven, we're going to have to learn how to be sowers and reapers. Sowers and reapers. Sowing the word of God and reaping in souls. We're going to have to learn this. I'd like to read you a few verses here. You know, in John chapter 14 and verse 9, Jesus said, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow him, and he'll make you fishers of men. That's what this Christian life is about. It's about reproduction, sowing the seed, and other people becoming Christians. And that's what we need to do. We need to follow Jesus, and he'll make us fishers of men.
Amen.
And if you could sum up the whole Christian life in one thing, it would be follow Jesus, and he'll make you. You can't make yourself, and I can't make you, but you need to be made.
Amen.
And that's a fact. We all need to be made. Number one, to be right with God, we need to be made again. And if we're going to ever do anything for God, great, we're going to have to be made. But we're going to have to follow Jesus Christ. And he'll make it. Amen. He'll get us right. He'll square us away.
Amen.
And that's what we need. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to do it. And maybe we've been trying to do it ourselves too much. And we're tired. And we need some rest. Well, Jesus says, come unto me.
Amen.
And I will give you rest. He wants to give us exactly what we need. Boy, if Jesus would have never came into the world, we'd be miserable. We'd all commit suicide. It'd be terrible. But aren't you glad that he came into the world?
Amen.
To give us eternal life? To teach us how to live here on earth? Well, I'm sure I'm glad that he came.
Amen.
You know, in Proverbs chapter 11, it says, The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise.
Amen.
If you're going to win souls, you're going to have to be wise. You're going to have to be as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. You're going to have to be crafty. But at the same time, very gentle, if you're going to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that in this day that we live in, and the coldness of our churches, that we don't really put forth an effort when it comes to telling people about Christ and to get saved. And you know, the Lord is ready to just spit us out of his mouth and say, let me deal with somebody else. Because the Lord wants to save people. He's in the business of saving people. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I know you got some loved ones. I know you got some friends, some people you work with, that you walk around with every day, and I know you want them saved, but you won't sow a seed. And it's going to cost you. You're going to suffer persecution. But wouldn't it be worth it to see your mom up in heaven with you?
Amen.
Or your dad, or your brother, or your sister, or that guy you walked around with for 20 years, your best friend? Wouldn't it be worth it? I think so. You know, I have a lot of friends, old friends back home that I ran around with, and these guys, if you would see them the way I see them now, they almost look like the living dead. They're strung out on just about everything. And you know, my heart goes out to them. And I always pray, I say, Lord, I pray that they get saved. Lord, send somebody to them that they might hear the gospel. And we say that a lot, don't we? Don't we say, Lord, send somebody. Lord, send somebody over there to my brother or my sister.
Amen.
Lord, just send somebody to my mother's house or my father's house. And the Lord is looking right at you. He says, okay.
Lord, go.
Go.
Amen.
I found the one I want to see it. Now go. And that's what he said.
Amen.
Now I know you pray like that. I pray like that. Lord, send somebody. Send somebody else. We need to get our heart right. In Psalms 126 and verse 5 and 6, it says, They that sow in tears shall reap in joy.
Amen.
He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaf with him. You know, those are some encouraging verses to want to be a soul winner for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they encourage me. And you know what? It's probably one of the greatest things I'd like to be is a soul winner for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to talk to men, women, boys, and girls every day about Christ and
Amen.
See them come to Christ and get saved. And if you never heard about me, if I was in the backwoods someplace and you never heard about me, that would be okay. If I wasn't like Billy Graham, you know, all these preachers, I don't know all their names, but all these big preachers, that would be okay with me. You know? Because one day up in heaven, when God opens up the books and he writes everything up and he adds it up, and he says, brother, you've been a faithful soul winner.
Amen.
Here, I got something for you. And then all these big shot preachers we see around here, he writes up their stuff, you know, and he looks and he adds it up, subtracts it, divides it. He says, here, here's a little something for you too. See, we gotta watch all this stuff we see on TV. It's kinda, you know, like, Hollywood, you know. It's not real. You know? Well, it's real to them, but, believe me, you know, Christians are really living in reality. Boy, they can see beyond the door. And we need to know this. We're not just ordinary people. I mean, when Christ came to live in your heart, he made you supernatural.
Amen. That's right.
I mean, if necessary, we could walk through doors if we had to. We could do all this thing. We could lay our hands on people and heal them and all this kind of stuff. But God has given us power for things that are necessary.
Amen.
And we don't need to be worrying about raising people from the dead. If somebody needs to be raised from the dead, we could do it. It could be done. But we need to worry about the little things that need to be done, you know? Like maybe a brother needs to be comforted or something. Or a sister maybe needs to be comforted. Or someone needs some kind of counseling or something. We need to be concerned about these little things, you know? Or some of you wives and some of you husbands need to, some help raising your kids.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I'm glad I'm married.
Amen.
I thought I would say that before I got through with this. So I could make my wife laugh. Believe me, it's different. I mean, no. I'm not the same anymore.
Amen.
Well, let's go on here.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
But you know, we need to learn how to be soul winners.
Amen.
You know, when we think back when we got saved, somebody came and talked to us, gave us a tract or something, and we got saved. And I remember very well how I got saved. And you know, I could go into it, but I won't right now. One day I would like to tell you how I got saved. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Amen.
When somebody brought me the gospel. You know, there was an empty spot in me. I didn't know what it was. I tried to fill it for 23 years. I tried to drink. I tried to smoke. I tried to fill it with all kind of immorality type things. It was still empty. And something was still missing. And you know, somebody told me about a man.
Amen.
Named Jesus. Man, I never knew that such a person could fill a space like that.
Amen.
In me. And Jesus did that. And I know you know what I'm talking about. Because you were empty and we were missing the life of God.
Right.
And Jesus came to introduce us to his Father.
Amen.
And his Father teaches us and shows us how we can be more like his Son. Praise God. Well, the last thing I'd like to say before I end, one day Jesus is coming back. You believe that?
Amen. Amen.
I know it's hard to believe sometimes. Been a long time, Jesus. When are you coming back? Been a long time, you know. And I don't know, there's a lot of young people in here. We haven't been waiting that long for it. What about the other people? We're always thinking selfishly. What about these people that are maybe 40 or 50? Or 60 years old or something like that. Man, they've been waiting a long time for the Lord to come back.
Praise the Lord.
I've only been waiting for 3 years. But man, I want the Lord to come back.
Amen.
You know? Because I know he tells us that it's going to be better.
Amen.
It's going to be better where he is.
Amen.
But you know something? The Bible says if you're going to have treasures in heaven, you're going to have to love his appearing when he comes.
Amen. That's right.
And you know what that means? You're going to have to be looking for him.
Amen.
You're going to have to be ready, waiting for the Lord to come back. And you know, you could be in a bad fix if you were doing something else. Just when the Lord was ready to come, bang. You'd go up and you'd have to explain to them what you were doing at that particular time, you know, how come you weren't doing what you were supposed to be doing, looking up because your redemption just happened to come just like that. What would you say to them? How would you get out of that? You know, Lord, I was just, well, I thought you were coming back a little later, you know, and I thought I had a little more time to go ahead and do what I wanted to do. you know, or whatever. You know, we all have our little things that we like to do. You know, we get caught up in that that stuff. And so, you know, I can't point everybody out, but you know what it is. And we get caught up in those things. But let if Jesus was to come back today, would you just be glad? Would you just be so happy that you almost exploded? Okay, you don't have to answer that. I hope you would be, though. And I believe you would be. But we're going to have to love the Lord's appearing if we're going to have treasures in heaven. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll start reading at verse 6. This is Paul the Apostle again. And listen to what he says. And see if this doesn't encourage you today. And this should give you something, a boost, a charge or something. It ought to do something for you. To listen to this. In verse 6 he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. Amen. I have finished my course. Amen. I have kept the faith.
Amen.
Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." Now everybody's not going to receive this. It's not a robe of righteousness. It's a crown of righteousness. "Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing."
Amen.
You know what? We're going to receive some crowns and some rewards. But certain things are going to have to be done in our lives. Now, if you're saved and you've been born again and washed in the blood, you'll receive a robe of righteousness. You know, and I thank God for that. Because wouldn't it be awful to stand in the presence of the Lord naked? You won't be able to give him your robe because you'd be naked before men. So you're going to keep that. But when we go to heaven, we're going to receive rewards and crowns so that we can give them back to the Lord. And notice what Paul said. "To them also that love is appearing."
Amen.
They'll receive a crown of righteousness.
Amen.
That the Lord will give them at that day. Boy, he's going to just plop a crown on them. Say, "Here, because you love me. You were glad when I happened to come in the twinkling of an eye. You were happy. You were waiting. You were watching." Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I wrote some other things down here. I wrote that by loving the appearing of Jesus, if you are to secure heavenly treasures, you're going to have to win the fight. You're going to have to finish the course, your course. You're going to have to keep the faith, and you're going to have to be glad when Jesus comes. Now, you know, I don't have to tell you that you're in a battle, because you know if you've ever did anything for the Lord, you know that you're in a battle. You're in a fight. Don't you want to win the fight?
Amen.
You know something? You're also on a course. And you're not just going crazy around here. I know it seems that way sometimes. Where am I going, Lord? You know, what are you doing? But you're on a course. Don't you want to finish that course?
Amen.
I know I do. And you know what? God has given us faith. And you know what he said to do? He said, "Hold on to it. Hold on to that faith that I've given you. Hold on to it. Don't let nobody take it from you." That's believing God. Keep the faith. Keep the faith that got you safe. Keep that faith that's going to keep you walking day by day for the Lord. Keep that faith. If somebody's trying to take it, keep the faith. And love the Lord when he comes.
Amen.
You know, in closing, I'd like to look at Job chapter 1. Chapter 1, I'll start reading at verse 20 and 21. It says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshiped, and said, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" You know, wouldn't that be a shame if you had to stand before the Lord naked? That would be a shame. But you don't as a Christian. He's given us a robe of righteousness. What's really going to be a shame if you don't have any rewards to give the Lord, and you want to take off your robe and give it, but you can't do it. You're going to want to give him your robe that he gave you to begin with. That's going to be a sad day for some Christians when they don't have any rewards, any treasures up in heaven, that they might kneel down and present to their Lord, the one who bought them with his precious blood. You know, we need to learn these things. If we're going to have treasure in heaven, we're going to have to learn some things. And we need to start today. I'd like to go back to the text and read it one more time in Matthew chapter 6. There's a lot of contrast here that you can see. In chapter 6 and verse 19, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth." Well, what's the contrast to that? "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. On earth, moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves come in and break and steal." They break in and they steal these treasures that we've laid up down here on the earth. And we've did this, we've all did this, and we do it. We lay up treasures here. We think we're going to be here. This is our home or something. And we lay up treasures, buying cars, boats, yachts, all kind of things. And we ought not do that. See, because that's where our heart is. And our heart shouldn't be there. But our heart should be on the things of God. And what we should do as Christians is we should lay up our treasures in heaven so that we might please the Lord. And that when he comes, instead of a frown, we can have a smile on us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.